Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you sense that we are living in the final days before His glorious appearing? Now more than ever, it's crucial for believers to be ready and equipped for the coming move of God. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a vital message for you in this critical hour. In the End Time Readiness Package, you'll receive two powerful resources to help you navigate the narrow band of time before Christ's return. In Living at the End of Time, a time of supernatural increase, Kenneth Copeland reveals that we've entered a period of acceleration. You'll discover how to cooperate with God's end time agenda and experience signs, wonders, and miracles in your everyday life. In Gloria Copeland's mini book, Are You Ready? Learn how to stay watchful and in tune with the Spirit so you're fully prepared with God's word for what's ahead. Live victoriously and confidently, free from fear in these end times, and be ready for the greatest outpouring of God's glory ever seen. Get equipped with the End Time Readiness Package and receive books by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on paperback or as digital downloads. Request your free package today on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Find out how you can live healed, protected, and free from fear. Offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
We're Pastor George and Terry Pearson's Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And Terry, 2 weeks we've been on the broadcast, and today is Friday.
I know, it's gone
fast. Oh, my goodness, really, it's gone fast.
Really fast. I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed doing this with you. Enjoyed being here with you.
Yes.
Have you enjoyed it? Have you gained from this? Or are you more... Is your ark, have you been building your ark along with us for these 2 weeks?
That's good.
We're very privileged to be a part of this with them. I know it helps me as we talk. This builds my faith. It builds my faith preparing for these, but I like listening to you and reading
like
over these notes.
I like listening to
you. Oh, that's so nice. Oh,
excuse us. So we do have all of the outlines available to you that we've been working from that will be helpful in your own study of this. And we've really taken this seriously in terms of the end times that we are in. You're seeing it. You're seeing things happen on the news every day. You're wondering what in the world is going on out there. And we need to be prepared. We need to position ourselves for faith in these times that we're in. Of course, we read the word of the Lord that Brother Copeland gave some years ago about the world is in serious trouble and it's getting worse and worse. But for those in the household of faith, everything is going to be all right. And there are certain things we need to do and certain things we need to be reminded of. So all this week, we've been talking about what we need to do to equip ourselves for the times that we're in. And today we're talking about something, Terry, that the Lord gave to me some years ago, thinking about the end times and thinking about the times that we're in, whether it's economic times, bad economic times. But He gave me this phrase. He said, you are not subject to the times, but the times are subject to you.
You know, God always speaks to us, George, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But there's also an understanding in that's how He sees it. That's how He made it. That's how He sees it.
Right.
But if we don't step over into His way of doing and being in the kingdom, His way of doing and being right, then we won't see things as He has said they will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's really what you're about to share with us.
Exactly. And we are, for instance, because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, we're delivered from the collateral damage of the curse. And I want everybody to know Jesus. I want everybody to have that protection. I want everybody to be untouchable by the evil one. But we do see things that are going on out there where people are being affected by it. But you have to realize that because you are a believer in Christ Jesus, as a believer in Christ Jesus, you have to understand that we are separated from the world. We may be of the world, but we are not of the world. And the difference between the two of those and those ins and ofs, we're in this place. We're existing here. But we are not partaking of the disaster where the world is headed and the thinking of the world and the conduct of the world. That's not us. We are of the kingdom of God. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And even though we are on this earth, we are untouched by the things that are around us. So where did we get that? And really, the concept of it came from looking at the book of Exodus. And do you want to start there at the
okay.
top and,
all right.
and we'll get into it?
You know, the story of the Exodus, which is in the book of Exodus, of Israel being brought out, is probably one of the very best illustrations, the biggest illustrations, one of them, especially in the first covenant,
yes.
of the same conditions, different outcome.
Right.
Same conditions, different results.
Yes.
So we remember how the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt. They were there for a long time before they were slaves, but they had become slaves, horrible conditions. And so God has said, I'm going to get you out of this,
yep.
but it's going to get very, very ugly in the whole land before Pharaoh
right.
is going to let you go. So the Israelites, they were in Egypt, but then there was a protective work of God that came on them in the midst of all those plagues, which separated them from the outcome.
Yes.
They're all in Egypt. They're all in the same land, and yet they had a different outcome than the Egyptians had. And that someday we're going to be out of this world.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yep.
But right now we're in it, just like they were in it. There was a promise to them that God would bring them out. There's a promise to us that someday He will completely take us out. But right now we can live on the authority of a higher kingdom.
Now, let me read this to you in Exodus chapter 8, and starting with verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he comes forth to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon thy servants and upon the people and into thy houses. And in the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground whereon they are. And then he said this in verse 22, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. That word sever there means to set apart. I will set apart in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. A division. A division. And I looked in my Bible here and I saw this number 2 cross-reference to division, and it says, redemption, a redemption. Well, I shared this with your dad, Brother Copeland, one time, and the next thing I knew, he was preaching about it. And he started talking about the wall of redemption. There was a wall of redemption between Egypt and a wall of redemption between the land of Goshen. And I liken that to where we are today. There's a wall of redemption between us and the world, and the negativity of the world, and the things that are going on in the world. Then I'll use a picture that I saw one time about this. There was a storm, hurricane, that went through. I think it was in Florida. And it wiped out, completely wiped out, this entire neighborhood. But there was a picture, a photograph that was taken, and right in the middle of the devastation, there is a house standing there, completely untouched, with everything else around it, level to the ground. That one house was standing. And the Lord showed me, that's a picture. That's a picture of the difference between the believer in this earth and the non-believer in this earth. And that's why it's so important that you become a believer in Christ Jesus. Pick it up.
Okay. In Exodus 9:4, the Lord shall sever, or be that division,
mm-hmm.
between the cattle of Israel, the cattle of Egypt, there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel's. Exodus 9:26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Exodus 10:22 and 23, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. That's symbolic of the 3 days that Jesus spent separated for us. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days.
Wow. Yes. Praise God.
All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. We like to say this. We're powered by the land of Goshen, Power and Light Company. So I want you to say this. My life
is powered by
the land of Goshen.
The land of Goshen.
Power and Light Company.
Power and Light Company.
When there's no light available, the light, Jesus, the light himself is in me, shining through me.
Glory. That's right. So with that said, I was thinking about this, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the property that we have out here. We actually have the Land of Goshen Power and Light Company.
We named our generators.
Right. And we have that. So what happens is, if there is some kind of a power outage here, we still have light. We still have power on the property. Why is that? Because we have our own generators on the property. The people around us that don't have their own personal generator, they're affected by the electric company. Well, we're separated from that. That's a picture. That's a picture of who we are in this day and in this hour. And another illustration that the Lord brought to me was from Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And starting in verse 46, it says, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Talking about the difference between being a doer of the word and not doing the word.
Yeah, or being all mouth.
Right.
All talk, no
right.
action.
Right.
Some people think that to say something is the same as doing it. No. You have to use the words of your mouth, but James says faith or speaking without works is dead. So you have to put the doing with the saying.
Right, exactly. Okay. So reading on with this. So whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house. He dug deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, he could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and he is not a doer of the word, he's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which, now I wrote in my Bible, the same stream or the same storm, same neighborhood. They could have been neighbors. They could be right next door to each other. But it's the same storm. It has the same impact of the storm. And he that does that, he's not a doer of the word. He is like a man without a foundation who built a house upon the earth against which the same storm beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So you see the difference between the doer and the non-doer of the word. And going back to that word that Brother Copeland gave, we shared it last week, we've been sharing it along the way, but he said, for the household of faith and those that will cling to my word, everything is going to be all right. The world is in serious trouble. Some very hard things are coming in different places around the world. They are that way now, and they're not going to get better. This was 2010. They will continue to get worse and worse. That's progressive over the years. It's on a downhill run that the world cannot stop. But for the household of faith or the house of faith, everything is going to be all right. You'll have to take a stand. You'll have to fight the good fight of faith. But when did you not have to do that? Well, we see here, this was the same situation, same conditions, different results.
George, it's always this story in the Bible always reminds me. It was a house we lived in. It was a good house, a brick house, solid house. But I remember a storm coming in that house one time, and feel the windows shake. It was a little discomforting. You could feel the pressure changing on the inside of the house. Those of you in the South, you know, that could mean you've got a tornado around the corner there. And I remember mm-hmm. it just didn't feel that secure. We moved to a different house, and it was an upgrade. This house was a better house, a more solid house. And I remember at another time with also a great storm going on, but I was sitting in the living room, and I didn't even know there was a storm. I finally looked up, and I saw outside, and the trees were just whipping back and forth. Yeah. I could see the rain coming down.
Right.
Barely heard it. There are storms in life out there that you might not even, hardly even notice. Maybe you had to even be told that you just went through a storm because everybody else was just torn apart by the storm. But it really can be this way, should be this way, if we'll do what? Just be a doer of the word.
Yes.
Jesus said, don't be a hypocrite. Don't say, I'm Lord, Lord. If he's Lord, then that means he's master. That means you do what he tells you to do, just like you would an employer, just like a child would or supposed to do, like a child obeying the parent. You do what you're told to do. You know, forgive. I don't want to. We didn't ask you if you wanted to. Do it anyway. Give. Well, I don't see how that'll work for me. Didn't ask you what you thought about it. Give. Tithe. Well, I don't think you should have to tithe today. Yeah. Don't question it. Do what the word says. And if we practice doing that all the while, every time we do that, it's another brick into a solid foundation, solid wall, a solid house, the household of faith. That's what the household of faith looks like, is someone who is always listening in order that they may say and do what they've heard the master say.
And that house that's being talked about in there, that is the household of faith.
It is the household
built
of faith.
Built on the rock, built on the rock of the word, built on the rock of faith, being a doer of the word of God. You've got to develop this, that stuff won't touch me. If they're trying to tell you that COVID is coming back and it's going to come back worse than ever, it does not touch me. It does not come near me. I'm separated out from the evil that is in the world. I am separated from the disasters that are around me.
The Lord said to me one time, very clearly in my heart, not my ears, but I heard it in my heart. He said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Mm. Well, we have scripture for that. He said, there is nothing that you cannot either prevent, change, or overcome. There are some things that just walking by faith and believing God, they never materialize. They never even happen. You don't even know that there was a plan against you. Never shows up at your doorstep. That package was never delivered. There are other things that you have to change. You know, they come, the big storm comes, and maybe the storm does come, but its impact is not what they said it would be.
Yeah.
It doesn't do to you what it did to others.
Right.
And it is changed in its course. It's changed in its outcome. It's diminished the impact. So what he tried, he couldn't succeed. Other things come. You couldn't stop it. Some things you can't change much. And you're looking around you and it just, wow, look at what has happened.
Yes.
But praise God, that's not the end of the story. If we don't manage to prevent it, if we don't change it fully in its impact, then bless God, we will overcome. Because I'm an overcomer. He always causes us to triumph because he loves us. We overcome the world through our faith. And that's what we're doing with these broadcasts, with the notes, with the books, the CDs. Everything that we're doing as hard and fast as we know how to. But you have to take those things. You are the bricklayer of your own foundation. You are the bricklayer of your own house, household of faith.
That's right.
We're giving you and equipping you, bringing it all right there to your address. But you have to be the one to lay the foundation and build the walls.
Same conditions, different results. And this is a warning. This is a warning to any political party out there who you dismiss God from your platform. You dismiss God from your agenda Because it says here in Jeremiah 17, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord." Now we see this, we see things going on, we see things taking place, political parties, other individuals that
institutions
that are colleges that are dismissing God, universities that are dismissing
and
God.
Some even shaking their fist at God.
Yeah.
And defying him. Yeah. And doing every, and Jesus said, "Woe to you that even causes offense to one of these little ones," somebody that doesn't know.
Yep.
And we have people on purpose, misguiding, misdirecting, retraining the thinking of our young people, teenagers, college students, little tiny children, telling them absurd, anti-God, anti-scriptural things that cause confusion, and they wind up doing great harm to themselves.
But in this scenario here, they're in the same condition, different results. So this is the man that is cursed, that trusts in man. His heart departs from the Lord. So the result of that is he shall be like the heath in the desert.
A little scrubby.
Stunted, shrump, destitute, hopeless in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, same condition, but different results. Blessed is the man that trust in the Lord. And this could be an economic condition. This could be an economic condition that hits the nation. But in that same condition, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Here's the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, thriving, prospering, flourishing, and shall not be careful or anxious or worried in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there's nonstop production no matter what the times look like. There is nonstop production. There's prosperity. There's prosperity in the household of faith.
And you know, Jesus, he did that. So they had a couple of loaves and a few fish there, little snack box. This little kid, why? Because they'd been there so long, everybody had eaten everything they brought. So now that, but all they could find were these little scraps, this little kid. But Jesus did, that didn't fret him. It didn't upset him. What did he do? He reached over by faith into the kingdom of God, and then just production came. This says that neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And just like that woman with the vial of oil, it didn't quit till she ran out of buckets to pour it in. That just the faith, obedience in faith, causes productivity to overflow and to flourish.
Same conditions,
different results.
Now, as we move into our offering time, our desire is for you to prosper. No matter what the economy is, no matter how bad it looks, you prosper in the midst of it. In Genesis 26 in verse 1, "And there was a famine in the land." So there's a bad famine going on in the land. However, say however.
However.
It said in verse 12 in Genesis 26, "Then Isaac sowed in that land during a famine, and received in the same time 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." Why did they envy him? Because they weren't prospering. Because their land wasn't producing. Because Isaac was following God and they were not. They weren't following the Lord, and he became a very rich man. One translation says quickly. Mm. He became a rich man quickly. So as you sow into the kingdom of God, you are going to reap the 100-fold. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what the government is doing, what crazy decisions are going on. You have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you're in the kingdom of God's Son. And now you are able to operate under those kingdom principles. And it's one way for one person. It's a total other way for a believer in Christ who's standing on the word. The end times are not affecting them in a negative way.
You know, I like reading Jewish commentaries on the Old Testament. And one of the commentaries on that section of scripture was that he knew it was 100-fold, not 100 times. 100-fold. Mm. It doubled with every, so it doubled, and then the double doubled, then the double of the double doubled.
Yes.
And it kept doing that. But it says he knew it was 100-fold because he was mindful of his tithe.
Okay, yes, exactly.
He was mindful.
Exactly.
He was mindful. He needed to know what his tithe
yes.
would be.
Look at that.
And then,
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Malachi says, so that there is...
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, and all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightsome land.
So, what? How does that fit in here? Well, you know, we believe that your tithe, if you're being fed spiritually in your church, that Jesus is the Lord of the tithe, okay? We get that in Hebrews. And so he can direct your tithe wherever he wants it to go, wherever he says. But, you know, we're pastors and we understand that most of the time that's where the tithe goes. Occasionally, we put our tithe in some other place as the Lord directs. So, so that's something we've done.
Yeah.
But primarily our church is where our tithe would go. But beyond the tithe, it's obedience to him. And
right.
so you can, the information that you see on the screen, there is where you can give. So that are on the website. You can text to give. You can write to us. All the information, you've been seeing it there on your screen, is so that you can sow into this ministry. And you know, if Pastor George and I or Brother Copeland has ministered to you, then the Galatians says it's right mm-hmm. that you give
yep.
of your natural physical substance to those who have sown into your life spiritually. That's so that it can multiply not only in your life, but in the lives of so many others. So what a privilege it's been, George, to be here these 2 weeks.
Yep.
What a joy. And we thank you now for your offerings and your gifts. And don't forget as you go on in life to remember, say it, Pastor.
God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.
Father, we thank you this morning and we give you praise. And we thank you that this building once more, for one whole week, will be a sanctuary for people from all over the world. And we thank you today that this building is full of the Holy Ghost and power from on high. And we praise you and we honor you today. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.